Last weekend was so much fun, right? We had young children. Well, some of you didn't see the early service. We had young children marching in with their Alleluia signs and pretty little dresses and cute little bow ties. We sang glorious music and have beautiful flowers. It was just amazing. We said, Alleluia, Christ is risen. Thanks be to God. Wow, it was great. So I wonder how many of you, with a show of hands, how many of you believe in the resurrected Jesus? Phew, okay, good. I was hoping that some of you would, maybe a lot of you, but I figured maybe a few would not, because this is a really, in some ways, unbelievable story, right? It's just an amazing thing that happened, and maybe you don't believe it. I don't know. I have a question for you, and I know you don't love this very much, but this is one of those things where you're going to have to turn and talk to each other, and if you're really brave, you could get up from one side of the room and walk over to this side of the room and talk to someone you don't know. And it's a question that I would like you to think about for just a few seconds and then answer with one sentence, maybe two, but no more than two. And there's no discussion to be had. You just give each other that opportunity to give your answer in one sentence, two, but not three. Here's the question. Why are you a Christian? Some of you are saying more than one sentence. I know this. All right, good. Good. So now I have another question for you. How many, when you said your answer, used the word faith? You can raise your hand. There's no right or wrong answer here. Just go ahead and raise it. See, now I see them. Okay. How many of you use the word believe? Yeah. You probably used one or the other, and if you didn't, it's totally okay. But those two things, faith and belief, go together for us as Christians, right? Somewhere in there, faith and or belief. I've heard it explained as two sides to the same coin. And in fact, in Greek, the word used in this story is pistis, or a derivative of pistis. And pistis can mean faith or belief. So we heard it as belief in this story this morning. But that's how closely they're related. And yet they're not quite the same thing, right? So I have a few other questions for you that I just want you to think about. You don't need to share answers, and you don't need to tell me your answer. But I want you to think about them. Do you need to have faith in order to believe in the resurrected Jesus or in Jesus? Do you need to believe in order to have faith? Do you believe? Why or why not? Do you have to see in order to believe? Maybe like Thomas. Or could it be, I see a lot of heads going, or could it be that you have to believe before you can see? Kind of hard questions, questions to wrestle with for sure. But they're questions we have to think about with this difficult story as well. I mean, it is an unbelievable story in some ways, right? If someone came to me today, a trusted friend, maybe a group of friends, came to me today and said, Jesus is back, really back. I saw him. Not sure I would believe that without seeing. Would anybody here just totally believe that? Or maybe want to see a little bit more, maybe. That's how unbelievable it is, and yet we have to wrestle with those questions. So I want to give you an example, maybe a couple, of this relationship about believing and seeing. Yesterday, I was in Pacific Grove, and it was a beautiful day. I was walking down the sidewalk, and there's a man standing on the sidewalk on the side with his truck, and his truck door is open, and he's just standing there, and he's looking, and I almost wondered, is he okay? He's just looking, and so as I walk by, he said hi, and he said, "Are you going down to see the whales? There are a lot of whales out there. They're jumping. I mean, it's amazing." And I thought, and I even said, "No, I really wasn't particularly going to see the whales, but if I see them, that'd be terrific. Thanks for letting me know that they're active and they're out there jumping." So I walked down the hill all the rest of the way, and I sat on a bench, because right there's no beach. You just kind of sit and look. And it's beautiful. I looked for the whales. I looked for a long time, and I did not see any whales. But it had nothing to do with my belief in whales, right? I believe, one, that there are whales. I believe that whales can actually jump out of the water, but I didn't see any of them that day. Didn't have an effect on my belief. If I didn't believe that I would be able to see a whale, or I didn't believe that whales actually jumped out of the water, I might not even have looked, right? And then I might have missed them. So believing is important, and we have to think about what we believe and what we might be missing if we don't believe. And one other example, climate change. Yesterday was Earth Day, and we had this March for Science. How many participated? Did anybody go on a march for science? Okay, you're forgiven. Just kidding. So climate change is an issue for us today, right? We'd all agree, most of us, I suppose. I shouldn't speak for everyone. But you kind of have to believe that climate change is an issue before you can see it. Or maybe if you see it, you'll believe that it's an issue. Right? And there's evidence all over the place. We have commentaries, we have television shows and documentaries, all sorts of stuff. And we see it in front of our eyes, on a beach or wherever. We see the evidence. If you don't believe that climate change is an issue, you're probably not going to see the things that you need to see to believe it. Right? You're not even going to be looking. You're going to walk past the things. You're not going to, I was going to say, turn the dial on your television. Ooh, that ages me. You're not going to press the remote control to a documentary about climate change. Seeing and believing, important together. Now, our story today is about Thomas, poor old Thomas, who kind of gets a bad rap for not believing or having to see in order to believe. But really, I mean, Thomas didn't do anything that any of the other disciples, I'm pretty sure, wouldn't have done. The difference is Jesus appeared to the disciples. They didn't need to believe without seeing because he appeared with his wounds, right? If Jesus had come and just been a voice from somewhere, they probably wouldn't have believed. It would have been different for sure. So Thomas, you know, everything that they did really is understandable. The disciples saw Jesus and they believed. Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit into them because he knew that they would need strength and courage after he was gone and ascended. He gave them peace because there was a lot of anxiety there. They were behind locked doors. They were fearful. He gave them peace. And he blessed them. I mean, it kind of says directly that Jesus would bless those who would believe without seeing. But really, he blessed them too, because he blessed them to be a blessing to other people. So Jesus provided this experience for the disciples to know him in a way that they were assured that he was there, alive, for them. He knew their needs, and he met all of them. Well, our experiences can lead us to believing, or maybe believing what's can't be explained, right? We have experiences. We experience the same four things, really, that the disciples did. We experience peace at times. And I would venture to say that some of us, this peace that passes understanding, I'm pretty sure that some of us feel at peace or have felt this calmness and this peace come over you, even in times of anxiety, or even when there's been chaos or tragedy in your family, maybe. It doesn't come right away, but at some point, haven't you all felt that sense of peace? And you don't understand it, but it's just there. Right now, I'm feeling very much that. I'm feeling very much at peace, even though I have no idea what I'm going to be doing next. Right? I don't know where I'm going to live. I don't know if I'm going to have a job. So under normal circumstances, I could see how that would kind of create a lot of anxiety. But honest to Pete, I just have a sense of peace right now about that. I hope that all of you have a deep sense of peace, that your next rector is going to be the rector that you need at this time, and will be the best rector that you can have at this time. I hope that you feel that peace. Jesus also breathed the Holy Spirit into the disciples, and God breathes the Holy Spirit into us. We are strengthened when we sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. We might sense it when we're singing. We might sense the Spirit at a moment that just completely surprises us. We can see Jesus. Jesus can be visible to us. Maybe not walking around the way he did with the disciples, but if you think about it, remember the scripture that says, when you fed the hungry, you were feeding me. When you clothed the naked, you were clothing me. When you comforted the sick, you were comforting me. So when you do those things, you're seeing Jesus in someone maybe you don't even know. But Jesus said, that's me, visible. We're going to be doing Beautiful Day in just a couple of weekends. And Beautiful Day is one of those hands-on things. And I will put my little plug here for Beautiful Day, because some of us, or some people I know, think that, well, this is not really a worthy cause. We should be feeding the hungry and clothing the naked. But really, it really is a great thing to do for the teachers and for the students and for us, because it gives us a presence in the community. And people are going to perhaps know that Jesus is alive and well because we are a faith community. We are a church that is going together as a family with our children and adults, and we are going to go do these things to make life better for this other community. We're being Jesus' hands and face and feet in the world, and hopefully others will see Jesus in us. Jesus is visible, and Jesus blesses us, of course. We are blessed, we know that, and we're blessed to be a blessing. So our experiences give us the same things that Jesus gave the disciples in order to reassure them and to give them what they needed in order to tell others that Jesus is alive, right? We are strengthened by the Holy Spirit. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. We are empowered to be the signs in the world that Jesus is alive and well. Now, word of mouth goes a long way. Word of mouth and living out our baptismal covenant also. We just renewed that last week, right? When we live out our baptismal covenant and when we speak our story or tell our story, that's how we tell the story of resurrection, even when we might doubt. We come to this church Last weekend, we had a lot of visitors, people that we didn't necessarily know, or at least not all of us. And we gathered in this place for a lot of reasons, because we believe in the resurrected Jesus, or because we used to believe in the resurrected Jesus, but we're just not so sure anymore. Maybe there's a bit of doubt. We wonder about Jesus, and we'd like some answers. Some people come because they want to know more about Jesus. Some people come because they don't believe in the resurrection at all, really. And maybe they believe in Jesus, but something is happening here that brings them back. Something that we are doing, something that they're feeling, something that maybe they can't put their finger on. And they want to know more. Because just maybe it's all true. That's what we come here to do. So Jesus gave the disciples what they needed when they needed it. He knew what they needed. He knew that they would doubt. He knows that we doubt. But he also knows what we need. God will provide those things that we need in the moment at the right time. So I'm going to leave you with one other question that you don't need to answer now, but that I want you to think about this week and perhaps forever. It's something I think about certainly a lot. How will you tell this unbelievable and yet believable story about the resurrected Jesus?